You remember we began our study of the Sermon on the Mount. We began by dealing where the Lord Jesus began with what is called the Beatitudes. And in those verses that we studied together, we saw the result of those wonderful principles that the Lord pointed out. We saw how that there is, first of all, an inward working seen in the first four of the Beatitudes. He said, blessed are the poor. In other words, those who are not financially poor, but those who are spiritually poor. In other words, they have recognized the fact of their wickedness. They have recognized their sinful condition, and because of that, they have then turned in faith to Jesus Christ and are saved. And there they find the wonderful blessing of forgiveness. Blessed are the poor. And then we also saw, blessed are the mourners, those who are broken over their sin, and as a result, they confess their sin. This is after they become a believer. They still have issues with sin, and they mourn over that, and they are broken over it, and as a result, they confess their sin, and they find the wonderful comfort of God's gracious forgiveness. And then he said, blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, those who humble themselves before God, and they learn His ways so that they might walk in obedience to Him. And as a result of that, you remember the Lord Jesus said that they will rule and reign with Him on this earth. And then the Lord said, blessed are the seekers, those who are hungering and thirsting after God's righteousness. And the Lord said that when people have that kind of heart attitude, they will be satisfied. They will be satisfied. Those are the inward workings of these Beatitudes. But then we saw how that when those inward workings are working as they should, then there will also be an outward working. There'll be an outward working. And so the Lord then shows the outflow of that inward working of those Beatitudes. And it begins with, blessed are the merciful. In other words, those who show mercy by doing good to others. We have received mercy, and we are to share that mercy with other people. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure, the Lord Jesus said. In other words, their hearts are right with God. Their motives are right with God. They do not serve God for what they hope to get from God, but they serve God simply because they love Him. Blessed are the pure in heart, the Lord Jesus said. And then blessed are the peacemakers, those who show God's love, even to their enemies. Even to their enemies. And so, blessed are the peacemakers. And then, blessed are the persecuted, the Lord said. They shall be rewarded in heaven. And then last time we noted that in these Beatitudes, the Lord had described the character traits, you remember. These things are basically describing the character traits of those who are His disciples, those who are His followers. And the character trait that we find is the thing that makes us to be an effective witness or an effective representative for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord said, after we see all these Beatitudes, then He makes that statement where He said that we are salt. We are salt. And of course, we dealt with this last time. We saw how that there's a couple of things there that we saw that there is salty salt. That's true. There's salty salt. In other words, it is salt that is full of robust flavor. It's salty salt. But we also saw that there is also something called worthless salt. Not good for anything. Not good for anything. It's lost its saltiness. Still salt. It's still salt. Just not good for anything. And unfortunately, that's the way many people are today. They've been truly saved. They are disciples of Christ. They're followers of the Lord Jesus. But because they are so much like the world, they have lost their saltiness. Still salt. Still salt. They're just worthless salt. Not good for God, not good for man. Just worthless salt. And so we saw that we are salt. But not only are we salt, the Lord Jesus now is going to move to another illustration, and he's going to show that we are light. That we are light. And this is the very thing that we're going to see in our study today. Now you remember the Lord Jesus over in the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse number 12. Here's what he said. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Just as our Savior is the light of the world, those who are His disciples, those who are His followers, in the same way, we are to be lights. We are to be lights in the world. Therefore, Jesus said like this, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. So let's notice several points here together for the next few minutes as we think along this line that we are the light of the world. First of all, I want you to notice that it is a personal light. It is a personal light. You'll notice in verse number 15, it begins with the word ye. Ye are the light. Ye are the light of the world. The Apostle Paul gives us some insight into that statement over in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8. He said this, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now I want you to notice that without God we were in darkness. Without God, we were lost in darkness. But now, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we are made to be light. And the light that we have, you need to understand, it is not our own light. It's not our own light. You remember back in the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, we find the creation of the heavens and the earth, and we find all of that there in chapter 1. And you come down to verse number 16, here's what it says. It says that God made two great lights. Two great lights. The greater light to rule the day. The lesser light to rule the night. Now, using this verse, we can draw this example or illustration. The greater light is God. The greater light is God. And the lesser light, that's us. The disciple, the follower of Jesus Christ. Now let me show you why there's a similarity there. There's a similarity simply because just as the moon has no light in itself. The moon has no light in itself. It simply reflects the light of the sun into the darkness of the night. And in the same way, we have no light in ourself. We have no light in ourselves. Therefore, we are to reflect His light into this world of spiritual darkness. And we do that by living out those Beatitudes that we saw over the past couple of weeks. But here's the point. This is a personal light. It's a personal light. In other words, when I say that, here's what I mean. I cannot be a light for you. And you cannot be a light for me. You. Me. Are the light of the world. See? It's a personal thing. It's a personal thing. Now, as you know, light travels at the speed. Light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles a second. What that means is, it means a beam of light can go around the earth 7 times in 1 second. That's faster than I can run. Just thought I'd let you know about that. But that beam of light can go around the world and it moves very quickly and it drives away darkness. Do you realize light and darkness cannot stay in the same place at the same time? It's impossible. So light, very quickly, it drives away darkness and it illuminates everything that it touches. It illuminates everything that it touches. Let me just say to you this evening, there are enough real Christians in this world of spiritual darkness that we could make a huge difference for God if we would just let our light shine. If we would just let our light shine, if every member of Heritage Baptist Church determined they were going to be like John the Baptist. Over in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse number 35, the Bible says he was a burning and a shining light. And if every one of us would determine that we were going to be like John the Baptist, and we were going to allow our personal light, you are the light of the world. And if we would just let our light shine, what a difference we could make for God. I want you to notice, not only is it a personal light, number two, it is a united light. It is a united light. A city that is set on a hill, Jesus said, cannot be hid. Have you ever seen those nighttime pictures that are taken from outer space of the earth? You've seen those? All over the landscape, for example, if you take a look at it, you see Southeast Asia there. That's Southeast Asia, and you know here's Malaysia down here, and I don't know what that little dot right there is, but anyway, they're Southeast Asia, and so and you look at that, and you can see all of those lights are very clearly seen. All of those lights are very clearly seen. That's because no matter how dark a night may be, the light will always shine through, right? It will always shine through. And no matter how spiritually dark, how wicked or perverted our world may be right now, our light will have an impact. It will do something. But I want you to notice that in this picture, you'll notice there are some spots of light that are far brighter. For example, here and over here, here, down here, long in here. That's a whole lot brighter than these little areas out here. You know why it's so much brighter in those areas? The reason why it's so much brighter there is simply because in those areas of brightness, that's where many individual lights have been brought together to shine as one big light. And the light shines brighter because it is made up of many smaller individual lights. Now here's the point. While every personal light can make a difference, you are the light of the world. That's important. And while every individual light and every personal light can make a difference, an even greater difference will be realized when our personal lights are united together. When our personal lights are united together. That's why Jesus said this over in Matthew chapter 5, verse 15. He said, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Years ago, when we were in Korea, we lived in the city of Daegu, which at that time was the third largest city. And about once a week, we would have not a blackout, but they called it a brownout. Because it didn't affect the whole city. What they would do is they would select a certain area of the city and they would just turn off the power. They said they were conserving energy. And so they would turn off the power in that area, and the next day they would turn off the power in another area. Next day they'd turn off the power in another area. And so they had these brownouts. And so about once a week we would go through a day when we didn't have any power, which made it kind of hard to watch TV or, you know, use your computer or anything like that. And so when we came to Singapore, we thought we had died and gone to heaven. Man, we had power 24/7. Until 2006. In 2006, a very unusual thing happened. One night our lights went out. At first I thought that we had just tripped a circuit breaker somewhere. We were living at that time next door to Sister Connie, and I thought if we didn't do it, she probably did. But I thought we had tripped a circuit breaker. Checked the circuits. No, it was okay. And then I looked outside and I noticed the whole block on our side of the road, the whole block was dark. The whole block was dark. You may remember the story. There was something about somebody ran out of fuel and the generator turned off. And anyway, that was the story that came out in the newspaper. But the thing I want you to understand is that in that darkness that we were experiencing, Ginger found some candles. I don't even know why we had them, because we had electricity 24/7, remember? But she found some candles and she began to light them and put them around so that we would have light in the house. And we noticed that when you put several candles together, it was much brighter. It gave more light. It illuminated things more completely. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about in our text. You see, the Lord Jesus said two things that everybody should already know. First of all, He said that no man will light a candle and hide it under a bushel. Nobody's going to do that. Everybody knows that. You don't light a candle and then hide it under a basket. That would be the height of foolishness. When a man lights a candle, what does he do with it? The answer is right there. Yeah, he puts it up on a candlestick. He puts it up on a candlestick. Why? Because that's where other candles are. And so he puts it up on the candlestick so that its light, along with the light of the other candles that are on the candlestick, can shine more brightly. The light can be more effective. It will shine brighter. It will shine further. Why? It's not alone. It's united. It's united. Now let me show you how this applies to us as followers of Jesus Christ. First of all, we are to shine, or we are not to shine alone. We're not to shine alone. When I was a kid, there used to be a cowboy show called The Lone Ranger. He only had one friend named Tonto, right? And he did have a horse, but the horse couldn't talk. So he had this one friend named Tonto. He was the Lone Ranger. You know what? God never called us to be a Lone Ranger. Never called us to be alone. It's not our Savior's intention or our Savior's desire. And I know sometimes we sing the song, you know, brighten the corner where you... God doesn't want you standing in a corner. He doesn't want you standing in a corner. He wants your light to go further than that. He wants your light to go further than that. And so we are not to shine alone. Rather, we are to shine together. We're to shine together. In other words, our individual light is to be joined with other lights on the candlestick, so that, like a candelabra, our collective lights might shine brighter and further for God. Now, in order to do that, we have to be clear about what the candlestick is. What is that candlestick? Jesus said you put it on a candlestick. Well, what does that mean? What does that imply? How is that defined? Well, by going to the Scriptures, we can find the answer to that. You remember in 95 AD, the Apostle John was sent to the island of Patmos. That was a Roman penal colony. He was sent there for the preaching of the Word of God and for his faith in Jesus Christ. Roman Emperor Titus Flavius Domitius sent John to that island. And of course, you know that while he was there, he was given a vision of things that are yet to come. And the visions that he saw, they're recorded for us there in the book of the Revelation. But before he received any visions of the future things, he first had a vision of the glorified Christ. That's found in chapter 1. He had a vision of the glorified Christ. John said that he heard a loud voice speaking to him, telling him to write in a book the things that were going to be shown to him. And he was also told that his book was then to be sent to these seven churches that were located there in Asia Minor. And so the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 and verse number 13, John said, "I turned to see the voice that spake with me, And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. In other words, when John turned around to see who it was that was talking to him, what he saw was a vision of the glorified Christ standing in the midst of seven candlesticks. Standing in the midst of seven candlesticks. In other words, John had a vision that was a mystery. It was a mystery. Now, the reason I say it's a mystery because this is something that we would never figure out on our own. This is something that we would never figure out with our own logic, our own reasoning. In fact, it's something that we would never understand unless God Himself explained it to us. And I'm so glad that He did. The Bible tells us exactly what the mystery of these candlesticks is. The Bible says down in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 20, the mystery, here it is, the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. They are the seven churches. In other words, the point that the Lord Jesus was making in our text was simply this. While we are to shine as lights in this world of darkness, we need to understand that our individual light is always going to be far more effective when it is united with other lights on the candlestick of our church. That's where it's going to be most effective. That's where it's supposed to be most effective. Two things, though, I think that's interesting. Two things that I find in our text that can hinder us from doing as our Lord commanded. Two things that we can do with our light that will hinder it from being effective as it should be. The first one is found in our present text where we put it under a bushel. We put it under a bushel. Now, a bushel, you understand, was simply a small basket. It was a small basket that was used in the commerce of buying and selling. In other words, I think what Jesus is telling us here is that many times our light does not shine as it should simply because we are too busy with the cares and the labors of this life that it hides our light. It's like being under a bushel. And it can't shine because the cares and the labors of this world have covered it up. Covered it up. There's another interesting thought. We find it in a parallel passage. The Lord Jesus spoke of this same thing in another time. And by the way, as a preacher, I'm happy to know this, that even the Lord preached the same sermon two times. Just thought I'd let you know that. Luke chapter 8, verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or puts it under the bed. He doesn't put it under a vessel, and he doesn't put it under the bed, but he puts it up on the candlestick. The bed, I believe we could say, speaks of those who are so consumed with the pleasures and the comforts of this world that their light is covered up and it cannot shine as it should. Commerce, business, job, money, possessions, comforts, pleasures, all of those things. Jesus covered them all in those two statements. All of those things can hinder our light from shining as it should on the candlestick. On the candlestick. So let me ask you a question this evening. What is it that hinders your light? What is it that hinders you from being involved and allowing your light to shine as it should? Our light. It's a personal light. Our light is to be a united light. But then I want you to notice number three, our light is also a profitable light. Now, I enjoy flying. I especially enjoy flying at night. And I especially enjoy it when we're landing in Singapore on our flight from the States, because we always get in about midnight. And so we come in and we're flying over the sea and we see all the ships down there and the lights, and then you come over the shoreline and you see, you know, there's the East Coast Park and there's all of those things. And when we're flying in like that, I always try to look around. I'm trying to spot the airport where we're going to land. And of course, I have a nephew. I actually have two nephews. Both of them are pilots. And of course, their view is always better than mine. They get to see it from the front window. And so they have a wonderful view. But let me just give you a what if. What if one night it's real dark, and out at Changi Airport, all of the lights go out? There's no runway lights. There's no lights to show them where to land their plane. There's no lights to guide them in on the right trajectory so they come in to make a good landing. All the lights go out. All the lights go out. We can only imagine the chaotic and the tragic result that would bring about. But I want you to understand that we live in a world of darkness where men need the light of God's truth so that they might avoid the tragedy of spending eternity in hell. We need to understand that we live in a world of darkness where men need to know from the light of God's truth how that they can safely land on heaven's shore. So therefore the Lord Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine," just as we've already seen, not hidden away under the things of the world, but "let your light so shine" from the candlestick. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works as those beatitudes are lived out in your life. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works result. They will glorify your Father which is in heaven." It is our light that reveals men's need and points them to God's solution. It is our light that shows men the way so that when they put their faith and trust in Christ, that God will be glorified. I read a story about a Hindu one time who asked a missionary. He said, "What do you put on your face to make it shine?" And the missionary said, "Whitening cream." No, I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. Actually, the missionary was surprised. And he said, I don't put anything on my face." And the Hindu said, "Yes, you must. I know that all you Christian people, you have this shine on your face. You have this shine." The missionary then understood what was going on, and he said, "Now I want you to understand. I want to tell you a secret. It's not something that we put on. It's something that is inside of us that puts the shine on our face. It's something inside of us. It is the reflection of the light of God who lives inside of us. That's what makes our countenance to shine." The Lord Jesus said, "Ye are the light." Remember last week when we talked about salt? He didn't say you ought to be salt. He didn't say you should be salt. He didn't say it'd be nice if you were salt. He said you are salt. And in the very same way, He does not say you ought to be light. You should be light. It would be good if you were light. No, He said you are the light. Which means now we come back to the same question that we ended up with last time, right? The question is not, are you light? The question is simply, what kind of light are you? What kind of light are you? A light that is seen by those around you who are lost in darkness? Are you a light that reveals to others the attractiveness of our Savior? What kind of light are you? May God help us to be the light that we ought to be for the Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word, and we pray.